Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Fine. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Is it warming up there in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, well, we are in Athens.
Athens, yeah, same thing.
Atlanta's the big city, about an hour and a half away. We're through pollen season mostly, and it's nice and warm, 90 degrees.
Sort of just at the end of college selection season, and while my kids are out of college, or at least in college, they're certainly not selecting college, we have a neighbor who's just gotten back from Athens, Georgia, and we live in Davis. And they came back and said, God, I can't believe Athens, Georgia's exactly like Davis. It feels just like it.
Yeah, it's got a great sort of countercultural vibe, too. And even if personally I'm not that, don't dress that strangely and have no body piercings or tattoos, it's kind of fun to be in a community where there's a broad range of what's acceptable. And so that's kind of cool.
Anyways, this week we are going to continue this little stint here of cardiology. We're going to talk about a drug marketed under the trade name of Prodexa. The generic is dabigatran. It's marketed for the prevention of stroke and systemic embolism in patients with non-valvular AFib. At present, the FDA is investigating reports of serious bleeding associated with the drug's use. And while company-sponsored studies do suggest some benefits, there are also studies that suggest that compared to warfarin, it may have some other problems for patients with cardiovascular disease. Mark is going to review an article. This one was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, asks the clinical question, does the use of dabigatran increase the risk of coronary events, particularly acute coronary events? Mark, what did they find?
So, yeah, there was a previous study that compared Pradaxa with warfarin for a stroke prophylaxis in patients with AFib, and they found a little bit higher risk of MI with the Pradaxa group. So they decided to look at all of the randomized trials of Pradaxa versus placebo to look at the likelihood of MI or acute coronary syndrome. So they found seven randomized trials with about 30,000 patients that looked at Pradaxa for things like stroke prophylaxis or treatment of acute venous thromboembolism or DVT prophylaxis, so mostly prophylactic use studies. And they all reported specifically whether patients had an MI or acute coronary syndrome. And they did the usual things you want to do in a meta-analysis, had a couple of people look at all the studies and assess the study quality. And what they found when they pooled all the data together was that the data showed that the Pradaxa was associated with a higher risk of MI or acute coronary syndrome than either warfarin, enoxaparin, which is Lovenox, or placebo. And so the RELY study was the big one in this group, and that 60% of the data came from it, and that was really what drove, I think, a lot of these results. So they also looked at some data. The RELY investigators had recently updated their study and found some additional, clinical MIs and silent MIs, and found the same results. On the other hand, the data from the six studies that reported on mortality showed a slight decrease in overall mortality with the Pradaxa, so 4.8% versus 5%. Anyway, it just says that there is a small but statistically significant risk of MI or acute coronary syndrome, probably no impact on mortality based on these data, and you'd have to treat about 250 people with the Pradaxa to cause one more acute coronary event.
This Pradaxa is a drug that seems to be under some scrutiny. There, as I mentioned about bleeding, the questions that you're raising, it's something that we'll keep our eyes on. And perhaps it's one of those drugs that isn't ready for prime time.
It certainly has the advantage of convenience. I mean, it's more convenient than using warfarin without the monitoring, and it's oral. But it's quite expensive, and the long-term safety You know, we just don't have quite as much data on it as we do with some of the low molecular weight heparins or with warfarin.
Excellent. We'll keep our eyes on it, Mark, and report back if there are other studies suggesting that what we're saying today is wrong. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks so much, Mark.
Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.